We're approaching quite possibly the most beautiful day of the year. We're approaching Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur is about hope. Yom Kippur is about the amazing capacity that Hashem gives us to build a more beautiful future. Yom Kippur is about saying, I'm not bound by my past. I can build a better future. So Yom Kippur is really quite possibly the greatest day of our year. Every day of the year has this capacity. But here we have a day that's focused on it, and Hashem says, I am closest to you on this day. Let's take the first Yom Kippur. We have the Jewish people. God just gave them the Torah, the Ten Commandments. And the first of the Ten Commandments says, I am Hashem your God. And the second one says, you shall not have any being that you believe in other than me. And not 40 days pass, and the Jews are there worshipping a golden calf. Does it get worse than that? And here, you'd think at that point that God would say, forget it. And the Jewish people do tshuva, and they repent, and comes Yom Kippur, and Hashem says, Salachti, I've forgiven. We can move forward. It's an amazing capacity that Hashem gave us, the capacity to move forward and not to be bound by our past sins. Hashem, when He gave us the Torah, at the conclusion of the Torah, said a fantastic pasuk. He said, you're responsible for the Torah for lo v'shamayimi v'lo me'ever layami. It's not in the heavens, it's not across the sea. On the simplest level, God's saying it's something that speaks to you, it's part of your life, and you can do it. Every one of you can do it. That's on the simplest level. Our sages say, lo v'shamayimi, it's not in the heavens, so you don't tell me I need a Moshe Rabbeinu. I don't have the giants like Moshe Rabbeinu who could climb to the heaven and bring me the Torah. V'lo me'ever layami, and it's not across the sea, says the Targum, so you don't tell me I need a Yonah ben Amittai to go to the depths of the sea and bring it out for me. What did Yonah ben Amittai bring out from the depths of the sea? The pasuk is referring to two concepts, possibly. One is the concept of Torah. God says you have a responsibility to the Torah. It's not up in the heavens. You don't need a Moshe Rabbeinu. Each of you can do it. And then the pasuk is talking about tshuva. The concept of tshuva is there with you. You guys don't have to go to the depths of the sea to get it. Yonah ben Amittai was already down there, and he taught us this concept. Here God tells him very clearly, here's what I want you to do. And what does Yonah do? He makes an about face and he goes, he runs for it. And God doesn't strike him down with lightning. God gives him the capacity to repent. And Yonah ben Amittai is thrown overboard. You'd think he'd do tshuva then. No. Yonah is swallowed by a male fish and he's left alive. You'd think he'd do tshuva then. No. It's only when Yonah is suffering and things are going really bad and he doesn't know how am I going to get out of this. Then Yonah ben Amittai does tshuva. And his tshuva works. And Yonah ben Amittai teaches us so many concepts. One of the concepts is that even though our tshuva might emanate from inconveniences, we know what we're all about. We know that when things were going okay, then we left God, so to speak, on the back burner. We were focused on what we wanted. And it's really self-fulfilling, our tshuva. And nonetheless, God accepts it lovingly. God is like a parent who says, right now my son is doing this for this reason, but I know he'll outgrow it. You learn with your son, I hope you reward him. When I learn with my son, so I open up a pack of Bamba or Bisli, and every pasuk he gets another one. So at the end of the learning, he gets a whole bag. He's very happy. So today, the Bamba or Bisli are the drive. You know, he'll outgrow that. I hope. I hope. So we come to Yom Kippur, and we're coming to a day that's filled with light. A day that's all about the capacity of the future. A day that's about Hashem's love for us. And more than we want to do tshuva, Hashem is there waiting. Give me an opportunity. Give me an opening. Show me. We discussed previously that the custom is when we take witnesses that we ask them, do tshuva, and what kind of tshuva can they do in that split second before they're supposed to take witness, to give testimony, to take testimony, to witness the engagement, the marriage of two people. They can think, I'd like to do tshuva, God. That's the most they can do. They can think, if until now I left my shop open on Shabbos, well, I'd like to change that. That's a big start. The first point is, where do I want to be? And I think that a person has to think about, where does he want to be? It's one of the key points. One point is, where does the Torah want me to be? The other question is, but where do I want to be? So last year we were standing before Yom Kippur and we had certain thoughts, we had certain desires, certain aspirations. And this year we stand before Yom Kippur. Hopefully we've attained some of them, and yet there are some which we know we probably have not attained. The people who came late to davening last year are probably still coming late this year. The people who spoke disrespectfully to their parents last year are probably speaking disrespectfully this year. Every person has their challenge. People who didn't pay their debts last year probably haven't paid them this year. There are areas where it's easier to win oneself over, and there are areas where it is more difficult. So the Rebbe from Nevardik told over the following story. There was once a man who wanted to rob a bank. I should just give credit where credit is due. I heard this from Rabbi Volach. He quoted the Rebbe from Nevardik, who said the following story. There was once a man who wanted to rob a bank. So he says to himself, how could I enter the bank with weapons? How's that going to work? So he comes up with a brilliant idea. He gets dressed up as a policeman. And then he comes into the bank. He strides into the bank. No one stops him. He's wearing a police uniform. He's got his gun in his holster. No one stops him. He's a policeman, right? He walks up to the teller, and when it's his turn, he draws his gun, and he says, give me all the money you got. So the tellers have clear instructions. They shouldn't give up their life for money. So they start, they take him to the to the safe, and they open it up, and he sees bags and bags of bills, and they take out a bag of bills for him. And as he's about to take the whatever he could handle, suddenly he feels something in his ribs, and he's told, you drop that gun. And he looks behind him, and he sees someone in plain clothes, and he's got a gun in his ribs. So he's like, huh? He puts down his gun. He says, who are you? How'd you get into the bank with a gun? He figures, hey, I got to learn this one. The guy says, I'm an undercover policeman. I also happen to be in line, and I saw you. So the undercover policeman, he takes out his handcuffs. He puts both guns in his holster, takes out handcuffs, handcuffs himself to this robber. And he says, now we're going down to the precinct. And they start walking to the precinct. So you have this robber dressed as a policeman, Chaim, handcuffed to Moshe, who's the undercover policeman. Now Moshe is walking down the street and he sees his neighbor, Yankel. Yankel doesn't know that Moshe is an undercover policeman. He says, oh boy, this looks really bad. Here I am walking down the street. My neighbor is going to see me handcuffed to this guy dressed up as a policeman. He's going to go back home. I'm finished. So he calls Yankel. He says, Yankel, this isn't what it looks like. Yankel says, what do you mean? He says, really, all these years I haven't told you I'm an undercover policeman. He's the crook. Yankel looks at him. The crook, who's dressed in policeman clothes, he figures he's about to ruin my life. I'm going to ruin his life. So he looks at him and he says, you keep quiet, you. We're going to the precinct. I'm the policeman here, and you stop telling stories. So Moshe is standing there looking at his handcuffs, looking at this thief who's cuffed to him. And he says, Yankel, I'm telling you the truth. I'm the policeman. And you know what? I'll prove it. Who's got the keys? He turns to the crook and he says, show me your keys to the to the handcuffs. I got the keys right here. He holds them at a distance. That's because I'm the policeman. You're the fake. Said the Rebbe of Nevardik, when we approach Yom Kippur, and we know that there's a question of sincerity, and there's a question of perseverance, will I be able to hold on to what I'd like to hold on to? We have to remember that we walk through life and we're bound to our Yetzer Hara. It's part of our lives. And the question is always, who's holding the key? Who's holding the key is the definition of who's leading whom. And we have to remember this. As we approach Yom Kippur, we're going to be faced with this challenge again. A person who decides he's going to eat kosher. Good for him. What's going to be 2 weeks after Yom Kippur, when his friends are going out to McDonald's or a Burger King? He has to ask himself, who is leading who? Who's the real me and who's the fake? And we have to remember again, Yom Kippur is a source of light. Yom Kippur is where we could remove the externals from ourselves. We're not focused on everything that's external. We're focused on the true me. The true me doesn't have to eat. Ah! I'm bound to that physical. I have to eat, right? But today, I'm peeling off all the externals. Who am I really? What am I really all about? And Yom Kippur is a source of light that could light our whole year. Part of approaching Yom Kippur positively is a question of attitude. A person can approach Yom Kippur in one of two ways. He could look back and say, well, all year I'm not happy with what I did, so let's start making a list of what I did wrong. A person can also look forward and say, next year I want to do it right. So how am I going to do it right? And very often the difference between the two is the difference between those who succeed and those who fail. If you're really going to succeed, then you have to focus on how am I going to do it right. It's true, part of tshuva is regret. But true regret involves how am I going to make it better? And I think at our stage of the game, here at Machon Meir, the correct attitude is a focus on forward. How do I move forward from here? The correct attitude is not about what did I do wrong last year as much as how am I going to make it better next year? So if I know I don't get up on time in the morning, then the key is going to sleep early. The key is not getting 3 alarm clocks. Very often, that's what we do. People say, well, what coffee do you run on? That's not the key. The key is getting to bed on time. There are many big rabbis who didn't drink coffee, who still don't drink coffee. They run on an old-fashioned thing called real sleep. Getting the sleep you need. So, we have to look at where's the root of the issue. A person can say the root of the issue is my roommate. He's a pain in the neck. That's why I get upset every day. Well, if that's really the root of the issue, so get out of that room. But if the root of the issue is that you're impatient, and this is the fifth roommate you have who's a pain in the neck, so then maybe a person has to work on his own midot. Did you want something? Okay. One of the important things is not to take on too much. It's better to take on less and stand with it than to take on more. You remember we had a class here last year and we discussed, there was a story brought up about a person who came back and said he's doing tshuva in one day. And the Rebbetzin of the Chabad told him, then leave the Chabad. And he said, but why? I'm going to be a full-fledged Jew. I went to Israel. I learned all about it. I spent 2 months, and now I know how to be a full-fledged Jew. From now on, I'm keeping all the mitzvot. And she said, that's very nice. Just please don't show up to the Chabad again. And he said, but why? And she said, because people who do it that way don't last more than a month or two. And we're more about consistency. So he said, so what do you want me to do? She said, take one mitzvah. You're continuing in college. You're continuing in the same framework. It's not like you're going to Machon Meir. It's not like you're going to a whole new environment where you could start keeping more mitzvot. You're still continuing in the same old place you were. So from this place, take one mitzvah. But that mitzvah, you got to promise me you're going to stick to till the end of the year. You want to stay in the Chabad house, that's what you have to do. One mitzvah, not more than that. And he himself said that at the end of the year, that one mitzvah seemed like it was so hard. He didn't tell us. I don't know. Today he's a rabbi here at Mahon Meir. Yeah, the story was told by one of the rabbis here. Where I'm sitting, we had a class, and he said this story over about himself. So yes, you're here at Mahon Meir, and you could take on more. You're here in an environment that's conducive to it. But at the same time, limit yourself. A person has to know what he's capable of doing. And it's better to take on less, but stick to it, than to take on more and not stick to it. The key here is moderation and consistency. One of the keys is also being happy. Happy. When a person takes on more than he can handle, then he starts trying to be someone who he cannot be at this point, and then he cannot be happy. So a person has to be happy. Take on mitzvot that are enjoyable. So be more helpful to your friends. So call your parents and be more respectful to them. So a person can take on Shabbat. If it's his first time taking on Shabbat, let him focus on having 3 meals a day, being at meals where they sing. Yes, there are 39 lachot you have to learn. With time, slowly. You could start by not turning on the light. If this is a guy's first Shabbos, I'm not going to tell him, don't answer your cell phone. It's prohibited to answer a cell phone. Right, but you got to work slowly. Slowly. If you build up to it, something slowly, so then with time, it becomes natural and easy. Everything is difficult when we start. So it's one of the key points is to go slowly. And another key point is to know what's important. Very often people will stand on Yom Kippur and they'll kick themselves. They'll say, you know, I didn't give charity 3 times a day. There's no biblical obligation to give charity any time a day. You got to give charity during the year. A person will stand on Yom Kippur and he'll say to himself, my davening should be longer, I should grow long payas and wear black garments all day. There's no such mitzvah. There are biblical mitzvot. Kibud avim, honoring our parents, is biblical. Not making a chilul Hashem, not desecrating God's name when we walk in the street with a yarmulke, not standing outside Mahon Meir at 2 o'clock in the morning waking up the neighbors, that's biblical. Other things are not biblical. Growing a beard is not biblical. No, you could be a very kosher Jew. The Ramam Mipano, a disciple of the Arizal, was clean shaven. That's perfectly fine. But not standing outside and waking the neighbors, that's biblical. You wake up the neighbors, aside from the Gezel Shena, theft of sleep, there's also the aspect of Chilul Hashem. People say, I hate living across the street from Mahon Meir. That's biblical. You walk into your room and you wake up your roommate, that's biblical. So when we stand before Yom Kippur, one of the key points is thinking, wait a second, what's really important here? Yes, it's a good thing that you guys should start having male friends, break away from your past. A person should strive to be at a point where the people he communicates with on Facebook and then email and all that are not people of the opposite gender. You should have one friend from the opposite gender, and that's your wife. Other people let them find their spouse. Yes, we aspire in that direction. But we also have to know what's biblical, what's critical. Family purity is critical. That's biblical. Not doing things that endanger one's life, that's biblical. If you know you speed on your motorcycle, then that's not right. If you know you drive in places that are dangerous for no good reason, that's not right. Let's take something that's very basic. We say it every day. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's a biblical mitzvah to come to a point of knowledge that God is one. That's one of the things we work on in Mahon Meir. And if a person is not yet, he hasn't yet come to terms with monotheism, with the idea that God gave us a Torah, that's a biblical mitzvah dealing with verifying that, coming to terms with that. That's also biblical. So when we stand before Yom Kippur, sometimes it's tempting to think what God wants of me is, and then to think about some little nuance that's not so important. And sometimes a person could kick himself and say, why don't I do that? Why don't I wear wool tzitzis? Well, who said you have to wear wool tzitzis? If it bugs you in the summer, don't wear wool tzitzis. In the winter, why not? There's another layer of heat. Why not? You want to wear wool tzitzis. Good for you. A person could stand there and kick himself and say, I don't wear tzitzis all day. I only put on a talis for davening. Well, you know what? That's not an aveira. It's a good thing to wear tzitzis. It protects you, but it's not an aveira if you don't. And that's not necessarily something you should work on. Wearing tefillin every day. At least put it on. Say, Shema Yisrael, take it off. That's biblical. Wearing tefillin every day. That's, again, the difference. When we stand before Yom Kippur, we have to remember there's a balance. What does God really want of me? So we have to remember that Yom Kippur is the most positive day of the year. It's a day of happiness. It's a day of the future. It's a day of potential. It's a day where God, so to speak, comes down in our midst. It's a day where Chazal tell us the Satan, Ha-Satan, is Gematria 300 and Ha-Satan 54, 364. Because the Satan has 364 days a year when he's got what to say. On Yom Kippur, that's the one day a year when he's got nothing to say. God says, I don't want to hear from you today. So today is a day we're approaching a beautiful day, a day where God says, hey, it's me and you, so to speak. Now let's talk. And so on Yom Kippur, our prayer revolves around, we say, God, we really regret what we did in the past. We really want to build a better future. We remember the 10 martyrs within the Chazarat HaShatz of Musaf. Wow. We recount people whose lives were taken because they went in the way of monotheism. And one of the things we say in our prayer is God, we want you to avenge the deaths of those that were murdered because they lived a proper life. So Yom Kippur is about a connection with Hashem. It's about a rejuvenation. It's about new potential. It's about new horizons. And when we approach Yom Kippur, we should approach it positively. I believe that you guys should already have, and if you haven't prepared them, you should prepare them now. Every person should have their own list, preparation. Who am I davening about? We say in these 10 days, Navi tells the Jewish people, seek out God when He makes Himself available. You could run after the Prime Minister and there's no catching him. And then there's election time, so to speak. When he comes out and he's all over, everywhere you go, you're bumping into him. You want to talk to him then, he's available. God makes Himself available now. There's no elections, but God says, on these 10 days, I'm here with you. I'm closer to you. I'm always listening, but here I'm with you. I'm down there with you. And so Yom Kippur is the highlight of that. It's a day of closeness between us and Hashem. And so I think every person should have a list. What's important to me? Every one of you should have a list of those that want to get married. This is one of the epidemics in the Jewish people today. There are a lot of people that desperately want to get married and they're not finding their shidduchim. And so I think that's one thing every person should daven about. Every person should daven about Jonathan Pollard, Yonatan ben Malka. That's one Jew. Gilad ben Aviva, Gilad Shalit. Every person, I think, knows people who are in need of a refuah shleman. If you don't, then you should at least have in mind Shmuel David ben Sarah, the son of Rav Eliasaf, who's still in the hospital in critical care after the car accident. Every one of us should make a list. When I come to Yom Kippur, I have lists, not one list. I have lists of things that I feel bad about the previous year that I'd like to make better. And guys, those are lists that no one should get a hold of. It's between you and God. It's no one's business. But a person should write out for himself, what are the things I'm going to talk to God about? Chazal say when it comes to Yom Kippur, we should prepare the prayer. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are prayers that we're not familiar with, and so the halacha tells us that a person should review them, prepare. Get a good machzor. If you don't yet have an art scroll machzor, purchase one. I don't need it to be art scroll, it could be Mitzudah or any other translation, but get an art scroll, get a machzor you understand. You're going to talk to God, you should know what you're saying. It's recommended that you take some time to go through either the Book of Our Heritage or the Mishnayos and Yuma or the Masor itself to become familiar with the practices of Yom Kippur, what the Kohen Gadol used to do. A major part of the Musaf prayer is a recounting of the procession that the Kohen Gadol did on Yom Kippur on this high holy day. It is customary that on Yom Kippur we bow down on the floor. Every time the Jewish people used to bow down in the temple, when the Kohen Gadol would mention God's hidden name, so then everyone would bow down. So when we recount that, when we recount how they used to bow down, we too bow down. We don't bow directly on the floor, we put something under our knees. Because in ancient times, they used to have mosaic floors that people used to bow to the floor, to the figurine in the mosaic on the floor. And so the Torah prohibits that biblically. And being that we don't know what the floor down on any given place, we don't know exactly what it is, so we forbade ourselves from ever bowing on a stone floor directly as it is. We don't bow directly. So we always put something under our knees. It's rabbinic, it's a custom, it's a correct custom, that we don't bow directly. So If you could prepare, bring a towel with you to davening. If you didn't bring something with you, you could always put your talis under your knees. The only problem is people won't realize that that's what you're putting under your knees. Put a few tissues. Get something to put under your knees when you bow down. We bow down almost all the way. Not all the way. We don't put our head all the way to the floor, no. We bow down almost. We bow down with our knees and we're almost all the way down. That's in a nutshell Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur should be a day of unification, just like we begin Yom Kippur with Mechila. We should try and make up with the people who we haven't made up with. This is the time to go over and say, hey, I know I embarrassed you publicly. Hey, I know we haven't been getting along. Let's make peace. It's a time to ask Mechila, and a person should be mochel willingly. A person shouldn't be hard at it. If a guy tells you, hey, I know I owe you $2,000, please forgive me. You don't have to forgive him. We're not talking about the monetary aspects of Mechila. On monetary issues, you could say, you know, you have to pay. Why should I forego that? That's not what we're talking about here.
But what about people you know by you know, that people take things from you? Maybe not the tenant, but, you know, they say, oh, that's yours. Oh, I'll have some. You know, they don't even ask. You know, like, take without asking. If you know people do that, like, consistently, is that...
I think that one should take into account that we're in Machon Meir, and everyone here is working on growing, and everyone has a different starting point. Some people grew up without parents to teach them right from wrong, and some people grew up on the streets, and some people grew up with social norms that are wrong. And sometimes people have overcome so many hardships, then there are the nuances which they haven't yet worked out. They might be impolite, they might be rude, they might be crude, and at the end of the day, if you think about it, they've overcome so much. So yes, they still have issues to work on. They still have issues to work on. Someone came to me 2 days ago. He said, "I want to work with people who are chozrim b'tshuva. What would you tell me are the keys to prepare for it?" So I said, "The first key is you have to love them." I said, "That's the first key. You have to love and respect the people you're working with." Because people are contending with hardships. And if my home has been burglarized by different people more than once, I've been robbed, and it's not easy. You're talking about a person taking something, you know, a piece of cake. I'm talking about a person taking a check and then cashing it. I'm talking about a person taking my passports. I'm talking about a person taking advantage of the fact that I said in class I'm not going to be home for Shabbos and trying to break into my home that Shabbos. I'm talking about things that are, you know, they're not easy to swallow. But at the end of the day, we have to remind ourselves that every person is trying to grow, hopefully. It's a process. And if we were granted the gift that we're starting at a certain point, I don't think we can take credit for that to ourselves. It's a little bit difficult for us to deal with people that have a different starting point. I'm not saying we have to give in to them. I did put in an alarm in my house. You know, I took certain precautions, but at the end of the day, there's still the aspect where I think it is something we should aspire to be more patient with our fellow men here at Machon Meir. In general, I don't have to let people take something that's not mine. I came to give class today with all those plates of cookies that I brought for the guys. So a guy who wasn't from the class came over and said, "You don't mind if I have one?" And I said, "Yes, I do." So it sounds very rude. And I said, "I'm sorry, you know, I schlepped this all the way from somewhere else for the guys in the class. You want to join the class, you're welcome to join the class and enjoy the cake. You want to take from the guys in the class, from their cake, and then walk off and do your thing. So go do your thing and leave the cake for the guys in the class. That's who I brought it for." So I said it all with a smile, just like he said, "You don't mind," with a smile. sometimes you do have to stand up and say, "I'm sorry, no."
It's a problem when a person says, "Oh, you don't mind," and they're already eating while they're saying that.
But okay, so... again, I think that here in Machon Meir, we should be more understanding. Meaning, remember that people are coming from different places. To my mind, the fact that a person walked through the doors of Machon Meir already means I have to stand up for it. Meaning, this is a person that's been leading his life in one way, and has made the tremendous step of saying, "I want to lead it a different way." That in and of itself is a huge step. And I have respect and admiration for anyone who does that. Again, you know, I'm coming from a different place than you. I never had to make that step. I was born in a from home. I grew up in a from home. So So to my mind, I say, wait a second, who knows if I wouldn't have been born here where I'd be. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I think everyone should work on that direction. It's easier for me to say it. I'm as an outsider, so to speak. But I still think it's something to aspire to. For everyone. I think so. I think so. That doesn't mean that you should let them get away with it. You could still say, hey, enough. But again, you gotta weigh that. Okay, Hashem should accept our tefillot, and everyone here should be signed in for a good year. Remember, you've already made a tremendous step in coming to Machon Meir. Be positive. Be positive about Yom Kippur. Be positive about the future. You guys are the future of Am Yisrael. You guys are the ones that are leading the way. There's a movement of coming back and rediscovering people's roots and moving forward and keeping Torah and Mitzvot. And you guys are at the forefront of that movement. So don't let Yom Kippur get you down. Quite the contrary. Keep Yom Kippur positive. You've made positive steps and you'll keep making positive steps. Take advantage of Yom Kippur as a day that God is close to us, as a day to focus ourselves on what's important to us in our lives. Who's holding who in the shackles? Who's the real policeman, as we began with? And let's try to have more perseverance and more intelligence in finding the root of continued growth. Like we said, if I'm waking up late, the key is not buying another 2 alarm clocks. The key is probably going to sleep earlier. So Hashem should bless us with a blessed year, and you guys should come through Yom Kippur with a more positive spirit, with more closeness to Hashem. And Be'ezrat Hashem, together we should see a beautiful year together.